Chapter 11. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Verse 28. These words are, if I may so say, a reason given by those in hell, why they are restless and do cry so loud. It is that their companions might be delivered from those intolerable torments which they must and shall undergo if they fall short of everlasting life by Jesus Christ. Send him to my Father's house, for I have five brethren. Though while they lived among them in the world they were not so sensible of their ruin, yet now they are passed out of the world and do partake of that in which before they were warned of, they can, I say, there cry out, now I find that to be true indeed which was once and again told and declared to me, that it would certainly come to pass. For I have five brethren. Here you may see that there may be in our whole households in a damnable state and condition, as our Lord Jesus doth by this signify. Send him to my Father's house, for they are all in one state. I left all my brethren in a pitiful state. People, while they live here, cannot endure to hear that they should be all in a miserable condition. But when they are under the wrath of God, they see it, they know it, and are very sure of it. For they themselves, when they were in the world, lived as the others do. But they fell short of heaven, and therefore if the others go on, so shall they. Oh, therefore send quickly to my Father's house, for all the house is in an undone condition and must be damned if they continue so. The thing observable is this, namely, that those that are in hell do not desire that their companions should come thither. Nay, rather, saith he, send him to my Father's house, and let him testify to them that are therein, lest they also come into this place of torment. Question. But some may say, what is the reason that the damned should desire not to have their companions come into the same condition that they are fallen into, but rather that they might be kept from it and escape that dreadful state? Answer. I do believe there is scarce so much love in any of the damned in hell as really to desire the salvation of any. But in that there is any desire in them that are damned, that their friends and relations should not come into that place of torment, it appears to me to be rather for their own ease than for their neighbor's good. For let me tell you, this I do believe, that it will aggravate the grief and horror of them to see their ungodly neighbors in the like destruction with them. For where the ungodly do live and die, and descend into the pit together, the one is rather a vexation to the other than anything else. And it must needs be so, because there are no ungodly people that do live ungodly together, but they do learn ill examples one of another, as thus, if there live one in the town that is very expert and cunning for the world, why now the rest that are of the same mind with him, and they will labor to imitate and follow his steps. This is commonly seen. Again, if there be one given to drunkenness, others of the town through his means run the more into that sin with him, and do accustom themselves the more to it, because of his enticing them, and also by setting such an ill example before them. And so, if there be any addicted to pride, and must needs be in all the newest fashions, how doth their example provoke others to love and follow the same vanity, spending that upon their lusts, which should relieve their own and others' wants? Also, if there be any given to jesting, scoffing, lying, whoring, backbiting, junketing, wantonness, or any other sin. They that are most expert in these things do oftentimes entangle others, that peradventure would not have been so vile as now they are, had they not had such an example, and hence they are called corrupters. Isaiah 1 verse 4. Now these will by their doings exceedingly aggravate the condemnation of one another. He that did set his neighbor as such an ill example, and thereby caused him to walk in sin, he will be found one's cause of his friend's destruction, insomuch that he will have to answer for his own sin, and for a great part of his neighbor's too, which will add to his destruction, as the scripture in Ezekiel showeth, where, speaking of the watchman that should give the people warning, if he do not, though the man did die in his sins, yet his blood shall be required at the watchman's hand. So here let me tell thee, that if thou shouldest be such an one, as by thy conversation and practices should be a trap and a stumbling block, to cause thy neighbor to fall into eternal ruin, though he be damned for his own sin, yet God may, nay, he will, charge thee as being guilty of his blood, in that thou didst not content thyself to keep from heaven thyself, but didst also by thy filthy conversation keep away others, and cause them to fall with thee. O therefore, will not this aggravate thy torment? Yea, if thou shouldest die and go to hell before thy neighbors or companions, besides the guilt of thine own sins, thou wouldst be so loaden with the fear of the damnation of others to be laid to thy charge, that thou wouldst cry out, O send one from the dead to this companion, and that companion with whom I had society in my lifetime, for I see my cursed carriage will be one cause of his condemnation if he falls short of glory. I left him living in foul and heinous offenses, but I was one of the first instruments to bring him to them. Oh, I shall be guilty both of my own and his damnation too. Oh, that he might be kept out hence, lest my torment be aggravated by his coming hither. For where ungodly people do dwell together, they being a snare and stumbling block one to another by their practice, they must be a torment one to another and an aggravation of each other's damnation. O cursed be thy face, saith one, that ever I set mine eyes on thee. It was all of thee. I may thank thee. It was thee that did entice me and ensnare me. It was your filthy conversation that was a stumbling block to me. It was your covetousness. It was your pride. Your hunting the alehouse. Your gaming and whoring. It was all of you that I fell short of life. If you had set me a good example as you set me an ill one, it may be I might have done better than now I do. But I learned of you. I followed your steps. I took counsel of you. Oh, that I had never seen your face. Oh, that thou hadst never been born to do my soul this wrong as you have done. Oh, saith the other, and I may as much blame you. For do you not remember how at such a time, and at such a time, you drew me out and drew me away, and asked me if I would go with you when I was going about other business, about my calling, but you called me away, you sent for me, you are as much in the fault as I. Though I were covetous, you were proud, and if you learned covetousness of me, I learned pride and drunkenness of you. Though I taught you to cheat, you taught me to whore, to lie, to scoff at goodness. Though I, base wretch, did stumble you in some things, you did as much stumble me in others. I can blame you as you blame me, and if I have to answer for some of your most filthy actions, you have to answer for some of mine. I would you had not come hither. The very looks of you do wound my soul, by bringing my sins afresh into my mind. The time when, the manner how, the places where, the persons with whom it was with you, grief to my soul, since I could not shun your company there. Oh, that I had been without your company here. I say therefore, for those that have sinned together, to go to hell together, it will very much perplex and torment them both. Therefore I judge this one reason why they that are in hell do desire that their companions or friends do not come thither into the same place of torment that they are in. And therefore where Christ saith that the damned souls cry out, send to your companions that they may be warned and commanded to look to themselves. O send to my five brethren. It is because they would not have their own torments heightened by their company, and a sense, yea, a continual sense of their sins, which they caused them to commit when they were in the world with them. For I do believe that the very looks of those that have beguiled of their fellows, I say their very looks will be a torment to them, for thereby will the remembrance of their own sins which they committed with them be kept, if possible, the fresher on their consciences. And also they will wonderfully have the guilt of the others' sins upon them, in that they were partly the cause of his committing them, being instruments in the hands of the devil to draw them in too. And therefore, lest this come to pass, I pray thee send him to my father's house. For if they might not come hither, peradventure my torment might have some mitigation. That is, if they might be saved, then their sins will be pardoned, and not so heavily charged on my soul. But if they do fall into the same place where I am, the sins that I have caused them to commit will lie so heavy, not only on their soul, but also on mine, that they will sink me into eternal misery, deeper and deeper. Oh, therefore, send him to my father's house, to my five brethren, and let him testify to them, lest they come into this place of torment. These words being thus understood, what a condition doth it show them to be in then, that now much delight in being the very ringleaders of their companions into sins of all sorts whatsoever. While men live here, if they can be counted the cunningest in cheating, the boldest for lying, the archest for whoring, the subtlest for coveting and getting the world, if they can but cunningly defraud, undermine, cross, and anger their neighbors, yea, and hinder them from the means of grace, the gospel of Christ, they glory in it, take a pride in it, and think themselves pretty well at ease. Then their minds are somewhat quiet, being beguiled with sin. But, friend, when thou hast lost this life, and dost begin to lift up thine eyes in hell, and seest what thy sins have brought thee to, and not only so, but that thou, devil-like, by thy filthy sins didst cause others to fall into the same condemnation with thee, and that one of the reasons of their damnation was this, that thou didst lead them to the commission of those wicked practices of this world, and the lust thereof, then, oh, that somebody would stop them from coming, lest they also come into this place of torment, and be damned as I am. How it will torment me! Balaam could not be contented to be damned himself, but also he must by his wickedness cause others to stumble and fall. The scribes and Pharisees could not be content to keep out of heaven themselves, but they must labor to keep out others too. Therefore theirs is the greater damnation. The deceived cannot be content to be deceived themselves, but he must labor to deceive others also. The drunkard cannot be content to go to hell for his sins, but he must labor to cause others to fall into the same furnace with him. But look to yourselves, for here will be damnation upon damnation, damned for thine own sins, and damned for thy being partaker with others in their sins, and damned for being guilty of the damnation of others. Oh, how will the drunkards cry for leading their neighbors into drunkenness? How will the covetous person howl for setting his neighbor, his friend, his brother, his children, and relations so wicked an example, by which he hath not only wronged his own soul, but also the souls of others? The liar, by lying, learned others to lie. The swearer learned others to swear. The whoremonger learned others to whore. Now all these, with others of the like sort, will be guilty, not only of their own damnation, but of others. I tell you that some men have been so much the authors of the damnation of others, that I am ready to think that the damnation of them will trouble them as much as their own damnation. Some men, it is to be feared, at the day of judgment, will be found to be the authors of destroying whole nations. How many souls do you think Balaam with his deceit will have to answer for? How many Mohammed? How many the Pharisees that hired the soldiers to say the disciples stole away Jesus? Matthew 28:11-15. And by what means stumbled their brethren to this day? This was one means of binding them from believing the things of God and Jesus Christ, and so the cause of the damnation of their brethren to this very day. How many poor souls hath Bonner to answer for, think you, and other filthy blind priests? How many souls have they been the means of destroying by their ignorance and corrupt doctrine, preaching what was no better for men's souls than rat's bane to the body, for filthy lucre's sake? They shall see, many of them, it is to be feared, that they will have whole towns to answer for, whole cities to answer for. Ah, friend, I tell thee, thou that hast taken in hand to preach to the people, it may be thou hast taken in hand, thou canst not tell what. Will it not grieve thee to see thy whole parish come bellowing after thee to hell, crying out, "This we may thank thee for, this is all of thee, thou didst not teach us the truth, thou didst lead us away with fables, thou wast afraid to tell us our sins, lest we should not put meat fast enough into thy mouth"? O cursed wretch, that ever thou shouldst beguile us thus, deceive us thus, flatter us thus. We would have gone out to hear the word abroad, but thou didst reprove us, and also tell us that which we see now is the way of God, was heresy, and a deceivable doctrine, and was not contented, blind guide as thou wert, to fall into the ditch thyself, but hast also led us thither with thee. I say, look to thyself, lest thou cry out when it is too late. Send Lazarus to my people, my friends, my children, my congregation to whom I preached, and beguiled through my folly. Send him to the town in which I did preach last, lest I be the cause of their damnation. Send him to my friends from whence I came, lest I be made to answer for their souls and mine too. Ezekiel 33:1-8. O send him therefore, and let him tell them and testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Consider ye that live thus in the world, while you are in the land of the living, lest you fall into this condition. Set the case that thou shouldst by thy carriage destroy but a soul, but one poor soul, by one of thy carriages or actions, by thy sinful works. Consider it now, I say, lest thou be forced to cry, I pray thee therefore, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come also into this place of torment. If so, then I shall not only say to the blind guides, look you to yourselves, and shut not out others. No, But this doth reach not only unto all those that do keep souls from heaven by preaching and the like, but speaks forth the doom of those that shall anyways be instrumental to hinder others from closing in with Jesus Christ. Oh, what red lines will there be against all those rich, ungodly landlords that so keep under their poor tenants that they dare not go out to hear the word for fear their rent should be raised or they turned out of their houses. What sayest thou, landlord? Will it not cut thy soul when thou shalt see that thou couldst not be content to miss of heaven thyself, but thou must labor to hinder others also? Will it not give thee an eternal wound in thy heart, both at death and judgment, to be accused of the ruin of thy neighbor's soul, thy servant's soul, thy wife's soul, together with the ruin of thy own? Think on this, you drunken, proud, rich, and scornful landlords. Think on this, mad-brained, blasphemous husbands that are against the godly and chaste conversation of your wives. Also you that hold your servants so hard to it that you will not spare them time to hear the word, unless it be where and when your lust will let you. If you love your own souls, your tenants' souls, your wives' souls, your servants' souls, your children's souls, if you would not cry, if you would not howl, if you would not bear the burden of the ruin of others forever, then I beseech you consider this doleful story and labor to avoid the soul-killing torment that this poor wretch groaneth under when he saith, I pray thee therefore that thou wouldest send him to my father's house.